session number 26648, reel 2.
Yeah. So how long were you, what year is this about, when you were at Stevenson? Wait a minute. While you were at Stevenson, you got time for a bit of cricket while you were up there, didn't you?
Yeah, I played away.
That's it.
I used to get, they allowed me Friday. They used to come and pick me up in a car or a taxi Friday night. And then they used to bring me back at Sunday night.
Just tell me about when you played there. And
what the day, first
that's
time.
That's it, go on, you tell me.
Well, it were a bit interesting, really. I'm walking up to the ground. And
but I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, because how did they know you were a cricketer? How did the word get round?
As we got to Stevenson, you see, Stanley, your officers, they were interested in cricket and football.
Mm.
Now, it were quite a good field what we were in, level bottom, and guns were on hill just above. So they made a cricket pitch there. Now then, these officers had their own, picked their own teams, and they used to play one another. They used to have a side bet, you see, the officers. And while we were playing cricket on bottom, shit, folk come walking past. They were on the main road, and they started watching and so forth. And next thing I knew, somebody called and said, would you like a game at Stevenson? So I said, I don't mind, which were kind of a village though, but they'd have tennis courts. A real sports centre it were. And I said, I don't mind it though. So following Saturday, I played. And had a good deal. So they were interested. I played for them a few weeks. And I got well looked after, got a bit of money and meal or two, which everybody enjoyed it for it. And somehow or other, they must have got to know it there, which isn't far off Stevenson, actually. So they come and approach me, and I said, well, I don't know, I can't say if they can get permission to play, but I'd like to play. So they went and saw the captain. And he said it were all right. But if I had to play for battalion, I'd have to play for battalion. I couldn't play for them, so they granted me this permission, so they came for me Friday and brought me back at Sunday. And first match I played, it was funny, as I'm going up the ground with these people that I stayed with. There were this Billy Pollard of Lancashire County Cricket Club. Well, that meant what they were thinking about were Dick Pollard.
Dick, huh? Chain horse.
Yeah. Although I had a good deal with there. And I enjoyed it. And while I were on leave, I was picked to play with Ayr County. You know, playing different counties up in Scotland.
Just while we're talking about that, just go forward one little bit there. And after the war, I think it was after the war, wasn't it? Ayr offered you a job up there, didn't they?
Well, after it was, Stanley, I could have gone and brought it there. And I could have also gone to Paisley, which is Glasgow, and brought there. I could have had a 2-year contract and been found a winter job in Patton and Baldwin.
That's it, there's plenty of textiles at Paisley.
Yeah, there you see.
Yeah.
And, but life wouldn't move, you see.
Mm.
So, in a way, I held that over this firm's head. Because, occasionally, what they did, they put me and made me sign on twice. Place was top, admittedly. But I said if I were going to be put on unemployed anymore, I would finish it and take in this contract, you see. So from that day to this, I've never signed on.
Mm. Right, well, let's go back to Stevenson. You're on 4.5s there, you're playing cricket, but there is still a war going on in Europe.
Yeah.
And in other places.
Go well, from there. Well, Stevenson, after we moved from Stevenson and we finished up at a place, Billingham, and what we were guarding there were ICI works. But there were never no raiders round there, and we thought it were a bit strange. all we were doing was polishing guns. And the site that we moved from on Tees Bank had been wiped out. There. Well, they started there. As we moved out, they put women on Predictor site. You know, these were giving you instructions from Predictor, which you put into gun and it's supposed to be. But human element creeps in, there were all those mistakes, you see. Well, you'd have shot every plane down the way. And that site were wiped out.
How do you mean wiped out?
Well, they dropped bombs on it at finish. Well, we thought it was strange that they should bring us off a gun site like that and put such as ATS on and some that hadn't been in what we call a bit rookish, you know, to guard a place like that. For us to go to Billingham and say we were going to guard ICI, and the only thing we ever did was polish guns. But it turned out as they were preparing us to go abroad. So we got orders to move out of Billingham and go to Leeds. And we were billeted in houses in Leeds. And we were on our way, you know, abroad from there. We were in houses situated outside Headingley Cricket Field, all around that area. And it weren't so bad. Wife came up every weekend. Well, we were there around 3 weeks to a month, I'm not certain week. And we were all paraded, didn't know a thing. I marched from Edinburgh right down to the station. And I'll never forget that march. Kitted up, kit bags. And plodding along down that long road to the station from there. And folk that were lined up. Poor lads, hey, poor lads.
They knew where you were going.
They knew where we were going, they say it happened before.
And did you know where you were going then?
No, I hadn't a clue where we were going, Stanley. So we were put into these carriages, and it were dark, all blinds down, huddled in carriages we were. I thought, I've been on this train a bloody long while, you know, I'll see where I'm going. Funny enough, I should open doings and I'm passing Skipton Station. I thought, this is a bloody funny road to Derby. This way, Skipton.
Oh, you thought you were going to Derby?
Well, we heard we were going to Derby, to Donington Park, and then getting some leave. I thought, this is a bloody funny way to Derby. And then I got a voice from the, put that blind down, you know. So blind went down, and next thing we gets off to sleep, wakened up at Dockside in Scotland, up at Gourock.
You went from Leeds down to Skipton and finished up in Scotland?
In Scotland, at Gourock.
Ah.
When they mastered on there, I've never seen as big a bloody ships in my life. Oh, dear Stanley. I thought, I'll never make it up that gangplank. So we sets off up gangplank, we gets to the top. And the smart bloke up there shouting, Polly Asser Hammock! I thought, well, I've heard one or two mention the leather hammock. I thought, I'll try one, it must be good sleeping. Anyway, he put us in his decks. There were 360 on one deck. And there were just three toilets. And all they were just like tables laid across with forms outside. So anybody who got a poly ass had to put it on the table, put it at the top of the table. And there were these hooks up and down where you fasten your hammocks. Well, it were laughable. It were really funny to see us fastening his hammocks up. We finished up like letter S's, like a saxophone that morning. So, faster I could get rid of my hammock and get a mattress out of bed. Well, after we'd been out of it there, Stanley, you've never seen a deck like that in your life.
What was the name of the boat?
Castle. Summit Castle.
Go on.
And, these toilets, they were swimming over. It were on what we call mess deck. And smell, pretty wicked. So we got to a stage at night when we pigged down. Everybody started baying like sheep. So the one smart little officer, he hadn't been with us long. Anybody that makes that noise again, he'll be put on some kind of duty. Well, usual cry, where he got a mouthful. Well, it were just chaotic. Anyway, we were in this convoy, there were 40-some boats in this convoy. We hadn't a clue where we were going. Anyway, we get to Gibraltar. Aircraft carrier left us there. And one or two at Tully. Still kept plodding on. And then it took us. Oh, we went up and we walked at the. Where were it? West coast of Africa. We pulled in at the place there. And we stopped 3 days, watered up, and then we set off again, and we finished at Durban, so with 4 days there, and it was beautiful. No, with 5 days at Durban, beautiful.
For sure.
Yeah, and folk that were waiting to take you to their houses. Marvellous. And if you hadn't like a day's leave or all, you went for a march down roads in Durban. I thought they were coming with these string bags of oranges. Couldn't do enough for you there, Stanley, South Africa. And it were really laughable if you had a day off on your own and you wanted to go on your own. You didn't want to go to your dad, got one day with your family, you know. You'd see these running up and down, these like Zulus with these carriages and tearing up the road, and they'd have these Zulu feathers floating away. And beaches, just white, and bands playing. Oh, it was lovely. And but there was this here distinction, you know. This at this sign, this at the other.
What do you mean?
With coloured, you know.
Oh, a bit different than garlic.
Garlic, yeah. And funny enough, there were some Americans there. And you know what American suiting were then? You thought everybody were officer. Well, we were throwing salutes up and they were only privates when it come out. So we left there and we're still in a convoy of, say, 30. And we went up one morning, we're on his own.
Never.
Well, that did it. I hope this bloody boat can move, everybody was saying. And we finished up and then the bloody engine shut up and we stopped. And we thought we're in a hell of a while now. And I don't know what they were waiting on, Stanley, but then we moved out there and we finished up at Mombasa, East Africa. But really, when it comes out, we were on for Madagascar job, us. And by the time we got there, it had been settled. So we that were diverted to Mombasa. And what we were on, such as ICAC then, we were training what they called askaris, you know. Darkies there to go from there to Burma.
So you were stationed in Mombasa?
So we were stationed in Mombasa.
How long for?
Oh, we were in there. 7 or 8 months.
And what? How, when were that?
There were gun sites there.
Yeah, 40?
That'd be late 41. Mm-hmm. Then. And they were a bloody awful crowd, the East Africans. Far different to South Africans. And we didn't enjoy it a bit there, you know. And what we were doing, we were just training these askaris mainly. These such as tribe, you know, Ugand from Uganda. And it was funny how they were picked out. There were no such thing as volunteering or that. They used to sit round in a square, you know. One tribe, they sit round in a doings with chief of these. And he'd just say, you. You're at army now. And this is where we got them.
Did you actually see that happening?
I've seen that happen, yeah. And they used to be what did they call them then? That were there when it were happening.
District commissioner.
District commissioner. Hmm. Only thing I enjoyed about there, Stanley, were when we were on leave. Went to Nairobi and up to a small place called Nyeri.
Oh,
and it was very interesting, really. Except for Nairobi, we stopped in a place I've never seen. A place that's bug-ridden in my life. Bugs everywhere. And I know we should have slept in beds, but hell, beds were full of bugs. So we sat up all night playing cards. But you had a good deal there, really. Your holiday started, and you had a full 14 days holiday. But it took you sometimes 3 or 4 days to travel to where you were going, you know. Funny on railways, you know, in some places you'd have a damn big Like giraffes strolling across lines, you know. Here. And then, after a period, I was in charge of about 40 Ascaris and had to take them up mainland.
You were still a private, were you?
No, I was a sergeant then.
Oh, you were a sergeant? Oh, you never mentioned about this promotion that had struck one, so you're a sergeant.
I went, had to take these onto this Mombasa Island, about 40 miles into Nairobi, you know, into growth line, because we'd had some ammunition dumps in there. And what we were doing there was to get it all ready for stacking up and shipping out to be took onto Burma. So they were getting mobilised to go to Burma from there after we trained all day. And we were going with them. And I finished up, I couldn't go because I got Blackwater fever.
Ah.
Well,
that's pretty bad, isn't it?
She's your house, eh? I just remember I'd been pretty bad for a day or two. And,
when you say you've been pretty bad, Jim, in what way? You know, well, headache, diarrhoea, or what?
Feeling sick and couldn't be sick.
Huh.
And when you were past water, it started in a real orangey colour. And you didn't have any pain. But you just kept this fear and you felt to have a big lump in your stomach, you know. And it felt to be going bigger and bigger. And then you found out that your vision weren't as good. And I had on now plodding on for 2 days, but we couldn't get in communication with these which were on Mombasa Island, you see, which were our headquarters.
Mm.
So what we had to do, we had to wait of a truck coming across and bringing food supplies. That were only our way we had a communication with Mombasa Island.
So that was the only way you could go sick?
I could go sick, you see. And I held on. Well, the food wagon came up, and lucky enough, the officer came up with it, you know. And I couldn't get out of bed that morning. So they just put me on the back of this wagon and rushed me straight down to this 40 mile. Nothing up bottom at wagon, just on a wagon doings, and rushed me down to Ferry, which took me to Mombasa Island, you see. And then there was pandemonium when I just remember getting in hospital. And they laid me on this here. Then there were a scurry. Then two more came and looked at me. And then they disappeared. Then some more came. And next thing I just remember being wheeled off in this trolley. And next thing I could remember was being sat on the edge of bed. And did a big long tube down my throat. And I'm not kidding, sick. And there were a lump of bile, what they call bile. Honestly, it were amazing how it come up, size of it. And then after, what I started with like an hemorrhage, and my white corpuscles and my red corpuscles had started what fighting with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And all that just come through my penis, like black jelly.
Uh-huh. That's why they call it black water fever.
Yeah. Just like black jelly it were, and then did to start and pump blood into me. And all I can remember, Stanley, were, I could just remember saying, I can't take no more, I can't take no more.
Yeah, it sounds bloody terrible, it does.
And then I didn't know what else for 6 weeks.
When you say you didn't know anything else for 6 weeks, you were like delirious and...
I were out for 6 weeks.
Is that right?
Mm. I were in hospital from 10th of May... Well, 13th of November. They wouldn't let me out.
That's like the Duke of Wellington said, Jim. It was a damn close run thing.
Yeah, and while I were in there, they brought two more in with Blackwater fever. And they didn't survive. And there was a sister there, Sister Osborne. She kept in contact with me until she died.
Sister?
Osborne.
Osborne?
A London person.
Uh-huh.
And she were a bit like Nurse Barlow in stature. Big.
Yeah.
And a marvellous person she was. She could just pick me out of bed like a doll.
Well, of course, you waited a good hour, fairish, you know,
well,
wouldn't you?
Even when they sent me home, and I landed on Barlick Station, and I was weighed, when I went to the doctor the following day after I come home, I was 5'13".
And that were on road to recovery?
That's on road to recovery.
So what had you got down to?
I don't know, Stanley. I couldn't remember.
So they
used to weigh me every 3 days. And while I were in hospital, Stanley, and I were coming round, first thing I had when I came, were coming round, was alkaline water.
Huh.
And I had a certain amount of this to sup daily without fail. And while I drunk this, you know how awkward it is when you have to use a bottle?
Mm.
And I couldn't move right well. And every one of them bottles had to be weighed. Water had to be weighed to see where I was passing.
So what went in and what come out?
What come out.
Yeah.
And that went on for weeks. And then when I finished with that, I was fortunate enough to get on champagne. give me a bottle of champagne, Stanley, for the oxygen that were in it or something.
Uh-huh.
Now, after that we're done, at 4 bottles of Guinness a day. I'd want first thing at morning, I'd want at dinner time, I'd want at tea time, and one at last thing at night.
Well, I don't make much of the disease, Jim, but I think the bloody treatment was marvellous.
And